Well, into A to Z Sports Prime Time from the Zen Sports Studios. I'm your host, Buck Rising. If you're new, hello, and I'm your host for this evening. I'm proud, as always, to be presented to you by the great people at Two Rivers Ford, the South's most trusted Ford dealership, where you can get quality American-made Ford vehicles at below MSRP on all their new non-specialty Fords, Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet, or online at tworiversford.com. TrueMav Fitness in the Gulch in downtown Nashville, conveniently located for the best workout in Middle Tennessee, a new way to work out for the best version of you. Go to truemavfitness.com and they'll get you that first workout free. Zen Sports, where you can get in on all the action. I know a lot of people keeping an eye on the Predators tonight against the St. Louis Blues. You can wager on the NHL, the NBA, the playoffs are right around the corner. Baseball is in full swing, no pun intended either. Zen Sports is where you go with that promo code ATOZTN to get in on all the action. Okay, I don't think you can name a more obvious pick in this upcoming NFL draft than Joe Alt to the Tennessee Titans. Maybe Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears, but you cannot find a single mock draft, unless somebody's just trying to be completely perverse or devious, that does not have, with the 7th overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans drafting Joe Alt. Now, it may well be that obvious. With all the different needs that this team has, they've done a pretty good job addressing a large portion of it in the offseason with their free agency moves. They had the cap space to do it. We know this, and we've seen how much further they've come as far as just the top-end talent. Now, they're still thin at every position, and I would include corner in that because beyond your top three, I don't know how you feel about Trey Avery. I don't know whether Eric Gehrer did enough to instill confidence. And listen, those you have to have guys like that to play special teams, and not everybody can roll five deep at corner the way that, I don't know, it feels like the Ravens always have a stacked secondary room on a perpetual basis, or the Chiefs have done really well drafting secondary players as well, which, you know, obviously L'Jarius Sneed being traded from Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. This is a team that still has a fair amount of needs, but now you can kind of shift your priorities around and make it a little more obvious. So we got the idea to kind of work through this path to the draft, quote unquote, and ultimately what we're going to do on the final primetime show before the draft is we're going to do a live 7-round mock draft with you. I know that I have dismissed mock drafts the entire time that I've worked at A to Z Sports, but I think it'd be a fun exercise with me, with Bert, with you guys to get involved before on the last primetime show, which will be the Wednesday primetime show, the 24th, before draft night. First round of the draft night, anyway, is officially here. So we got this idea from the NFL Network. Ian Rappaport was on television doing the path to the draft show, and they got around to the Titans, and the discussion kind of got my wheels turning a little bit. But I'm going to remind you that your Two Rivers Ford take, well, I'm going to ask you your Two Rivers Ford take here in just a second. I'm going to remind you that your Two Rivers Ford take is presented by Two Rivers Ford, quality American-made Ford vehicles at the South's most trusted Ford dealership, Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet, where they sell all their new non-specialty Fords below MSRP, tworiversford.com for more information at the South's most trusted Ford dealer. So what position are you prioritizing most for the Titans to draft 3 weeks from tonight? That's the Two Rivers Ford take. Let me know in the comment section. And while you do that in the comment section, here's Rap Sheet on their path to the draft.
Yeah, I would say, right, these moves set up the teams significantly, and there is a reason that you often see big-time trades right before the draft. This year, we had him a little bit early, L'Jarius Sneed going about a week or so ago, being finalized this week, Hassan Reddick agreeing to terms late last week, being finalized and announced yesterday. But really what teams want to do now, right around now, is fill holes and make sure when they get to the draft, they don't have to reach for anything. Let's say the Tennessee Titans, they pull this trade. trade. They get L'Jarius Sneed. They lock him in for 4 years, more than $19 million per year. They now have Chido Uwuzie and Sneed as their two starting corners, which means when they come up in the top 10, wherever they end up in the top 10, they can now pick the best player available. That is key for them. Similar situation for the New York Jets. You know, they were in on Jadeveon Clowney. He ends up going to the Carolina Panthers. They end up trading for Haason Reddick. They now have starters on the edge. They have Jermaine Johnson. They have Haason Reddick. They don't need to reach for an edge rusher like maybe they might have had to do. They also can pick the best player available, maybe offensive line, maybe receiver. Plenty of options for the Jets.
So the Titans and the Jets are in similar situations with their drafts, and because of their off seasons, they've put themselves in position to kind of shift their priorities around. I would have argued that wide receiver was as critical a need as left tackle was prior to them signing Calvin Ridley. I know a lot of people would say, well, you can't reasonably argue that, or you can't honestly believe that, watching the way that Malik Willis, Will Levis, Ryan Tannehill were just totally battered for two straight seasons behind the league's, probably over those two seasons, worst offensive line group. You didn't think it could get worse from 2022. It did in 2023, and that seems to have embedded you guys with a sense of PTSD about the lineman situation. But I know it's not comforting until you get your hands on the players, you know which players your team is officially going to draft, and you can have that sense of confidence. Okay, here is a known commodity. Here's what he can do. Here's what he can't do. Here's what the coaching staff is going to have to do to try and get him up to snuff. Because whomever you draft at left tackle, he's a day one starter. Same as Peter Skoronski. It's going to be rocky for whomever they put in there. So you want to put yourself in the best possible position to succeed. Who that player is at seven, I have no idea. And again, it depends on how their draft board is stacked. But I think that prior to the Calvin Ridley signing, I would have argued that receiver was as critical of a need because their lack of talent on the outside beyond DeAndre Hopkins is glaring. And while he was great as a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver on his, what is that, his third team after the Texans and the Cardinals, still producing at a high level, still reached 1,000 yards, seven touchdowns, had, I believe, 75 receptions. DeAndre Hopkins was as good as any wide receiver in football last year, as reliable as any wide receiver in football last year, which is a huge part of this, but they need fresh blood to infuse this offense with legitimate top-end speed, dynamic playmaking ability, so Hopkins doesn't have to shoulder the burden of this game in and game out the way that he and Derrick Henry so often did last year. So wide receiver is still a need, but it's not the most important need. And you could have argued that left tackle was always the most important need, but I could have made a pretty good case for wide receiver prior to signing Calvin Ridley. Now this, the math changes with Calvin Ridley, right? Because you add a top-end player at the position, you feel really good about what he brings to the table, and you understand how much different he can make things, how much different he can make the dynamic for guys like DeAndre Hopkins as well.
Exciting. I'm a player. It doesn't matter who the other teams have. I don't really care who they have. I mean, obviously we'll look into it, but I'm a believer in who I'm working with. So, you know, we out there running them sprints and we sweating in the off season and we working together and we're becoming brothers at the end of the day. I believe in everyone on my team. That's when I came from Alabama. Like I look around, I don't care who the other team has. We're gonna work to be good and we're gonna kick their ass. And then I don't really care who they. I mean, I believe in my teammates and the work that we're gonna put in. But like you said, this division is getting really good for real. They got some good players on these other teams. So, but we got good players too. We're gonna come with it. And I know they're building a great organization around here. And I'm excited, man. I'm ready, excited to do what I got to do.
I'm with them. I'm excited to see what this division looks like. The AFC South is gonna be legit in the coming months, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. And I think Titans fans should feel pretty confident. Texans are still the best team in the division, and I know it's only on paper, and I'm not going to pop a neck vein again like I did last night and call somebody a dumbass. I apologize. That was a little strong. But I think that a lot of this stuff, how it's going to play out, with the Texans as the obvious lead dog for this stuff. Jacksonville was too. The Titans the year before, and both of those seasons kind of blew up in the respective teams' faces. Could it happen to Houston? We'll see. They're trying to prevent that. A to Z Sports Primetime is presented by TrueMath Fitness in the Gulch. Go to TrueMathFitness.com for your first workout free as a Middle Tennessee resident and for the best workout in Middle Tennessee. Group fitness classes, I really enjoy them. We went on, what was that, Saturday to a TrueMath Fitness class to raise money for LLS. It was a full body workout. It was done in about 40 minutes. You definitely felt like you had improved your physical fitness. It's HIIT training. So it's not like CrossFit. You're not yanking your joints out of place. It's not a lot of jumping and moving that way if you're somebody that doesn't necessarily feel like you're equipped for that, because I know sometimes group classes can be intimidating. That's not the case at TrueMath. It's for any fitness level. And if group classes aren't your vibe, they have personal training. And if you want to just work out at their facility, it's great. They have membership options that just allow you access to their open gym. And you can take a class whenever you want, but you can take your first class free at TrueMathFitness.com. Okay, so what is the biggest priority for you guys in the upcoming NFL draft? Omar says, thank you, Buck, because you were starting to sound like national media. In terms of like my perception of the Titans, listen, I don't know what the Titans are going to be in 2024, but I'm legit excited to see how it plays out. Now, could it blow up in their faces? Sure. I mean, I have no idea if Will Levis is going to be good in 2024, but I think there's a lot there to like about it. And I think he's obviously, it's a huge reason that they drafted him, and I think he's going to give them an opportunity to succeed, but he has to take legitimate steps. Gary says, Brock Bowers all day long. Coach Brian Callahan says he likes guys who can score. He can block instead, outside, catch, run, score, most dynamic tight end to do it in 20 years. Well, they said it about Pitts too. Now, I think Bowers is a better prospect than Pitts, but also, I think that Pitts is the more physically gifted player. Now, Brock Bowers his game is probably going to end up being something like Travis Kelce, because he's not a physically overwhelming dude. He's about 6'3". He's a little lighter than I thought he would be, what he weighed in at the combine. Hasn't done any of the testing because he's dealing with a hamstring situation and didn't participate in his pro day either, but you know, the tape is the tape. Brock Bowers is a machine. Brock Bowers, in the right system, could be Travis Kelce. I truly believe that. And certainly, if you have the kind of wide receivers that you do, and Bowers is on the board at 7, you'd have to give it legit thought. You'd have to give thought to one of the wide receivers, even though you have Calvin Ridley. And also, the thing that makes the most sense is probably the trade back in this situation. That would be my preference. My priority in this draft is them trading out of 7 if I'm the Titans. Now, they may have a different plan. It depends on what they get offered. All of this could change by the time we get to 3 weeks from today on April the 25th when they're officially drafting in the first round. I would prioritize a trade back. I am trying to get as many good players as possible, as many cracks at this as humanly possible, because you know not every draft pick is going to hit. You have to continue to build up the depth and not just the top-end talent, because the difference in the Texans winning a Super Bowl is not, for example, we'll just use the Texans because they're a team that's putting together an offseason like they plan to win the Super Bowl, and I think they're plenty capable of doing it. We'll see what happens this year, but I'm curious to see how much a difference the moves that they've made make a difference against Baltimore or Kansas City or Buffalo. Maybe not Buffalo. Buffalo looks like it's falling. It's trending down as Houston trends up. But either way, is the difference between the Texans winning a Super Bowl and not winning a Super Bowl going to be DeNico Autry? No, not necessarily. But because they have equipped themselves with top-end depth at the position, they've probably got 4 or 5 dudes who are better than the Titans' second best pass rusher right now. So I would like, if Harold Landry, and I know Jeff is an interior guy who rushes the quarterback, But if Harold Landry is the best pass rusher that the Titans have, do the Titans have a second guy that's as good as five other guys on the Texans? No, because the Texans had that kind of money to equip themselves for that kind of Super Bowl run. That depth and how they survive a 17-game season at wide receiver, at offensive line, at defensive line is how a team like that is going to last long enough to win the Super Bowl, going to keep good players on the field long enough to win the Super Bowl. The Titans are adding top-end talent, but they need depth to be able to survive this because there's no way that this team is going to, I mean, not no way that this specific team is going to be able to stay healthy, but we know that not all of the best players are going to be available at the end of the year. It's the sport is just cruel that way. It's great to think about these things in April, but what does your football team look like in late December? That's kind of the key to this thing, as much as top-end talent is. So you look at the priorities. My priority would be to trade back, and we'll get into Joe Alt taking a visit to the Titans here in just a second. Yesterday, right after I remind you that the primetime program is made possible by the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage. Go to GaryAshton.com, get your dream address without the stress, and don't sell without the intel that only the official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators can provide you at GaryAshton.com. So, my priority would be to trade back because I think there's plenty tackle depth in this draft, especially with an offensive line coach like Bill Callahan, who can get this player in position to succeed right out of the gates. He's going to have his work cut out for him. This is a nearly total offensive line rebuild. I'd expect Brunskill or NPF. In an ideal world, you would replace both of them, but you're probably not going to be able to do both of those things this offseason. You'd like to have better players at both of those positions. I think Brunskill is probably the better of the two, the more reliable of the two, certainly. But there's a lot to like about Joe Alt. And I think that Joe Alt is absolutely a player you could find at seven. We'll see how the quarterback draft kind of sets the table for the offensive lineman run to start. There's a case for Joe Alt there, but there's a case for a great many players there. It's hard to not like the idea of Joe Alt, 10-year Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, and just dropping him in on the left side and not having to think another thought about left tackle for the next 8 to 10 years.
That's right. Joe Alt, the Notre Dame offensive tackle, does seem to be, no one's a lock at anything, but does seem to be as close to a lock as you could possibly be to be a top 10 pick. So what he is doing is meeting with the teams that are in the top 10. My understanding is he met with the Tennessee Titans on Wednesday, yesterday. He met with the New York Jets on Tuesday. The Titans are a really interesting one because there is a very real chance that he is there for him and they take him. I think it's obvious the Tennessee Titans have a need at left tackle. They released Andre Dillard, their big free agent signing from a year ago. They do not currently have a starter right in there now, so that seems to make a lot of sense. The Jets are more intriguing because they did sign Tyron Smith to be their left tackle this year. He's an older player. He's on a one-year contract. Future roster building, adding a franchise left tackle, even if he doesn't have to play left tackle for a year for the Jets, could be a really, really, really smart move there.
So that's Rap Sheet talking about Joe Alt's visit to the Titans. Jack Penfold on YouTube asks, and I assume this means, if I remember correctly, IIRC, Greg Cosell wasn't truly sold on Alt. No, he just, when we asked Greg about Joe Alt as consensus top tackle prospect, Greg said, no, he's not the consensus top tackle prospect. He likes Fuaga from Oregon State better as a prospect than he does coming out of. It doesn't mean that Fuaga will end up being the better left tackle, because he was a right tackle at Oregon State. What Cosell said about Alt is there's just some stuff about his game that he could stand to clean up. He's a little wide and late with his hands, which is not something that you want to be, because if you're wide with your hands, what happens? The defensive lineman gets into your chest, pushes you back. All of a sudden, you're Andre Dillard, and you're immediately susceptible to the bull rush, right? What Greg said, and I invite you guys to check out, because we talked interior offensive line on this week's podcast, as well as the Stephon Diggs trade on the latest episode of The Install with Greg Cosell. And we're doing a live show, by the way, on May the 3rd, less than a month from yesterday. will be the live show at the Analog. Bert will quit playing video games for 5 seconds and drop the Eventbrite link in to the chat. He's wagging his finger at me like he's not playing video games, as if he could lie to me that way when he's having 6 different conversations with 7 different people on a headset. I'm not sure how that math works, but either way, he will drop the Eventbrite link into the chat for you guys if you want to come to the live show. Because how many podcasts do you get that will go 3 straight hours? Well, not 3 straight hours, because there's going to be some intermissions, because we've got a full bar and we want you guys to be liquored up, because we're going to have charitable donations for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as well. And the more that you drink, I'm hoping the more money that you donate, because we are hoping to raise some money for a really good cause. But it's a live 3-hour show with audience Q&As for Greg Cosell of NFL Films, and he's going to break down the entire Titans offseason. Draft, Snead, Ridley, Cushenberry, all the acquisitions and free agency trades and the draft, and it's going to be an electric time. We had, I think, about 150 people last year. We're hoping to pitch a sellout. There are still some tickets remaining, but we think we're probably going to have about 300 people in the house for this thing. Just $25 to get in the door, 1045thezone.com or the Eventbrite link that that Bert has dropped in the live stream chats for you guys. So Cosell pointed out that on this week's podcast that he thinks there's probably something in college football as far as coaching, where guys are being coached a certain type of way that makes their hand efficiency or hand fighting efficiency less, because wide and late is what he's seeing a lot with guys who are more physically talented who can get away with that stuff. Doesn't mean that Joe Alt can't get NFL caliber coaching, Bill Callahan caliber coaching, and be the best left tackle in the NFL for 10 years to come. But his prospects, Greg likes Fuaga better, just means that he thinks you've got a little bit of a higher starting point than Joe Alt is, because there's just some stuff about his game that he wants, that he'd like to see cleaned up. But it doesn't mean that he's not truly sold on him. I think people tend to go to extremes on that stuff. So you can pray that he will be there at 38. Then we lose. Then we lose our who. Hill Ant Hill is having a conversation with somebody else, not me. Boss Man Jim says, "Damn, Buck, you guys should broadcast it." Also, I'm in Virginia and I can't make it there. Yeah, but then it loses its appeal. Like, we'll put it up on YouTube like a couple of weeks afterwards, but we're not going to live stream it, because, you know, we want people live in the crowd. We want this to be that kind of an event. And, you know, I hate that people from out of town can't make it, but also, you know, core audiences in Nashville, guys, we got to do some things. It's not like we can take this show on the road very often, although, you know, Titans play the Eagles every once in a while, so I get up to Philly to see Greg when I'm in Philadelphia. Either way, this is something that's specific for Titans fans. And, you know, I know there are Titans fans everywhere, but we want to do some stuff for our Nashville folks, because those are our P1s. But if you're ever in town for one of these live shows, we're going to do it annually. So it's going to be a great time. Stephen King says Buck is going to videotape it. Well, I'm not going to videotape it, but the great staff at the Analog has great production elements, and they will release it in parts, because, like I said, it's a 3-hour live show. We're not just going to drop the whole thing on YouTube. Anyway, so if you prioritize left tackle the most, which it seems like almost all of you do, and that's completely fine, though I think they do have some needs on the defensive line, and that would probably be my priority too. What position group do you prioritize the least in this year's draft? Let's talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch right after I remind you that the Primetime program is made possible by the great people at Zen Sports. There is literally no better app for you to get in on the action with than Zen Sports. They are here to make your life easy and get you in on your favorite games, whether it's the NBA, the NHL, or all of your favorite major sports in between. ZenSports.com with that promo code ATOZTN gets you in on the action. They offer a one-of-a-kind VIP rewards program. If you qualify, you'll earn monthly comps at sporting events, concerts, you name it, even sportsbook bonuses. This VIP program is by invite only, though, if you're familiar with Zen Sports. So if you feel that your Zen Sports play qualifies for VIP consideration, check out the program details and apply at zensports.com/VIP. Zen Sports betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions do apply. No danger wager limited to plus 500 odds to qualify. Boosted odds are derived from equivalent parlay bets offered in Tennessee. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. ZenSports.com for more information. So, which position group are you prioritizing least in the draft? Titans have signed a corner, a center, a wide receiver. They've added a running back. They've added an inside linebacker, two corners, as a matter of fact, with Awuzie and now Snead in the fold. Which position group are you prioritizing the least? Bub Exotic, interesting, says safety. Titans need to try and get Simmons on a one-year deal. I'm inclined to agree with you. Stephen King is saying punter. I don't know what Stonehouse is going to look like coming back from this leg injury, guys. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to be a problem, and it sounds, based on the last time I checked in on such things, sounds like he was doing fine with his recovery, but he had a pretty gnarly leg injury last year. So I'm going to assume that he's had a little bit of time, but that was in the second half of the season. It may not be as seamless for Ryan Stonehouse. We'll wait to see, but you know, it looked pretty gruesome at the time. Steven Miranda says they don't need to prioritize corner. Lou Man says the answer is quarterback. Quarterback is probably the position that they need to prioritize least. They have Mason Rudolph, they have Malik Willis, and they have Will Levis. It's probably quarterback, running back, safety, tight end is how I would tier the lowest priorities. They don't need a quarterback solution right now. This is a strong quarterback class, so it's not a great time to not have a need, I guess. But Will Levis is the thing that they're investing in moving forward, and they've certainly made a ton of financial investments around him to see if he can take this thing over the top on a rookie contract. Chris Alonso says running back. They have Pollard, Spears, and Chestnut. They're set there. They also have Hassan Haskins. Don't forget Haskins. Dylan Cole says quarterback is too obvious, LOL. Well, no, it's not too obvious. Listen, people in Nashville, Titans fans are I wouldn't say 100% sold, but it seems like most of you are sold on Will Levis. There's way more confidence about Will Levis locally than there is anywhere else in the NFL. Will Levis is as big a question mark to people as Anthony Richardson is. Now, I'm not saying that they need to prepare a contingency plan for Will Levis already. That's what this year is about. But I don't know that it's obvious to everyone. It's obvious to us because we are here. We see the plan and we understand, you know, typically the formula to try and succeed with a quarterback that's on an inexpensive contract. Major Key says, I'm not, LOL, not sold at all on Will Levis. Jack Penfold says, that is true on Levis. A lot of doubters out there. Supreme Nick, the way he balled out against the Dolphins, Slick sold me, not going to lie. I mean, listen, Miami, I think because so many people turned off that Miami game because they thought the Dolphins won, I don't think they know that Will Levis came back in that game. I think the vast majority of people, if you asked, what are we? This is April the 4th. The Miami game was it in December? I think it was a little before Christmas, if I remember correctly, the Miami game. I don't remember the exact date, but just let's assume that it was in December. I bet if you asked 100 just NFL fans nationwide who won the Monday night Dolphins-Titans game, I bet most people would say Miami. One, because they'll assume that Miami, who was the better football team, should have won the game without remembering it. And two, they probably turned off the game with 2 minutes to go, or I think it was 3 minutes to go, where Miami had just gone up three scores before Levis and Hopkins drove back down the field two times in 3 minutes. So I bet a lot of people don't remember that specific moment, and that moment probably sold a lot of people. December 11th, says Supreme Nick. Thank you. I appreciate it. So he's got work to do. This is going to be a huge year for him. And also, you know, they've done a lot of things, coaching staff-wise, personnel-wise, to check the right boxes around him. We'll see if it all goes to plan, but they seem to have the right plan in place right now. Wrap up with a weekend bounce back. Oh, running back. Running back is the position that I would say beyond quarterback, because I think Tajay Spears and Pollard are great as a 1-2 punch.
Well, I mean, first of all, like Tajay is a dude that I just described. Like, he's very passionate about football. He loves the game. He's a hard worker. And I think you guys that have gotten to know him know that's how he's wired, and you love that about him. Tajay's one of those guys that's always in the building. You know, I know there were a lot of concerns about his knee coming out, and that was the big question this time of year and after we drafted him. But we're talking about a guy that never missed a practice, never missed a game. And he's, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, he's made of the right shit. You know, and those are the type of guys that we want to have in our program.
Tajay Spears, made of the right shit. Tony Pollard, basically a Tajay Spears clone. So looks like they're going to be in good position with the running back spot moving forward. All right, weekend bounce back, and then we'll wrap up. Who needs to bounce back this weekend? The person that does not need a bounce back perpetually is Joe Dubin. Big Joe on the go is one of the funniest people out there. I wish that I could have Dubin on the radio show. I should probably just put him on the podcast from time to time. But he works at a different radio station than I do, so they won't let me do that. But Dubin kills me, especially when he goes after the people who do perpetually need a bounce back in this city, which is, of course, bachelorette parties on transportainment.
Go home! Go home! Go home! You're embarrassing Nashville! Go home!
It never fails. Dubin drives alongside these things. He'll smile, he'll wave. They're playing music and it's loud, so because they're in oncoming traffic and they can't hear what he's saying. So he's smiling and waving, saying, "Go home, go home. We don't want you here. You're embarrassing Nashville." It's one of the funniest bits going. Big Joe on the go is a comedic genius.
Go home! Go home! Go home! You're embarrassing Nashville! Go home!
Go home, bachelorettes. Go home. That's going to do it for us tonight on the Primetime Show. We'll do a 615 sessions tomorrow. I think Derek Mason, a former Titans wide receiver, is going to be on the 615 sessions tomorrow. Chosen wants to know, am I allowed to have Teron on my show? Yeah, I can have Teron on the podcast anytime I want, which is great. We always appreciate TD. But this Friday, I'm pretty sure it's going to be D-Mace. I'll double check with him, and that'll be great because we'll talk about some wide receivers and what he thinks of the core that's shaping up around here. Have a great rest of your night. I will talk to you guys tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on 104.5 The Zone. Oh, Phil Forsberg. The Preds are up on the Blues. It's an ESPN Plus game, and I did not log into my ESPN Plus account in the office before the game started, but I believe they are up 3-1 on St. Louis at the end of the second. So, provided that the Preds don't shit the bed, Phil Forsberg is on the radio show tomorrow, and you guys should tune in for that. It will be a great time. We will also have Coach Dave McGinnis, and we'll talk more about L'Jarius Sneed. We will talk more about the Titans offseason, because the offseason, the first day officially of Titans offseason work is 4 days from now, which gave me like legit hives. The idea that report day is April 8th is scary, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. Radio show 10 to 1, Phil Forsberg, Coach Mac, be there and have a great weekend, because the next time I talk to you, it'll be Sunday night here on the Primetime Show.